Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As you covered, so your business stays one step ahead.
All right, it's go time.
Choose fast, highly reliable AT&T Internet for Business today and get a $100 AT&T Visa reward card. Go to att.com/businessinternet or call 855-433-5700 to take advantage of this offer today. The AT&T Visa reward card is issued by the Bancorp Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and can be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted in the United States, U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. No cash access. The Bancorp Bank, member FDIC.
At Dunkin', the flavors of pumpkin are back in a big way. We're talking pumpkin donuts, pumpkin muffins, pumpkin munchkins donut holes. Oh boy, pumpkin coffee, pumpkin iced coffee, pumpkin frozen coffee, pumpkin lattes, and the exciting new cinnamon sugar pumpkin signature latte, which has got sugar and spice and everything nice. Phew, it's pumpkin flavored everything at Dunkin'. America runs on Dunkin'. Oh, and pumpkin K-Cup pods too. Limited time offer. Participation may vary. Keurig K-Cup used under license.
The Court Holiday Home BOGO Sale runs November 1st through the 30th, and the entire store is buy one, get one free with code BOGO19. Sofas, chairs, chests, BOGO. Pillows, rugs, mirrors, BOGO. Every piece is Court certified. Plus, financing is available. See store for details and find your nearest location at courtfurnitureoutlet.com. Don't miss the Court Holiday Home BOGO Sale. That's buy one, get one free. November 1st through the 30th. Item of equal or lesser value. Not valid with special orders, other offers, or discounts.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
Top of the hour on The Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves games are a great excuse to get your group together for the holidays, whether it's for a company outing, a team celebration, or really anything else. To set up your group, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins. Afternoons on The Score.
Teddy Greenstein. I am checking something off my bucket list. Tomorrow night, I am seeing Jerry Seinfeld. I'm very excited about this.
Jerry, hello.
Huge Seinfeld fan. I'm a little worried about the letdown. Like, I've wanted to see Seinfeld for so long, and he doesn't do what every other comedian does, which is do new hours. He does his best stuff, he does old stuff, and then he recycles in like 10% of new stuff. So my guess is I'm going to have seen some of this material before.
Well, good luck with all that.
You've seen him twice. Should I be excited for Seinfeld?
Be ready for a few things. He will be kind of immaculately dressed. You know, he's old school. He's a suit and tie guy. There will be no cursing. It will be a completely clean show. Some shows, he allows the crowd to ask questions at the end.
Something like a meeting your heroes type thing. Not that I will be meeting him, but just like being in the presence with him.
Especially a comic. I saw Sam Kinison when he was sober.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, no, but he was clean. Oh. You know what? It was sad. Cool. He wasn't as funny when he got off the garbage. Mm. He was too clean.
Oh, come on. I thought you're a pro. That's part of the show.
No, not part of the show.
I've been talking about seeing Seinfeld for 15 years.
Oh, thanks.
Can I give you a hug?
No, thanks.
Please?
No, thanks.
A little one.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Oh.
I don't know who that was.
Yo, saddle up, lock and load.
McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Seeing Seinfeld in 2 hours. Tick-tock, tick-tock. I cannot wait. But it's a Bears Friday on The Score, and Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'.
Teddy Greenstein was in yesterday. He was the voice you heard in opening ceremonies, having had seen Seinfeld, and he says he opens it up for questions. Have you thought about something? Because you're the type of guy who wants to ask a question.
He's in the balcony, so... I'm in the balcony, rather, so I don't think I'll...
You're in the... Really?
Yeah, I'm in the balcony. Man, it's
what happened?
It's a tough ticket.
I was in there for the pre-sale for Seinfeld. 20,000 people were trying to get tickets pre-sale. There's no...
No kidding.
Yeah, so I'm in the... I got good balcony seats,
you know,
but I'm in the balcony.
For a comedy show, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to not go see Seinfeld because I'm in the balcony,
right.
But it's going to be tough for me to ask a question.
Yeah, it's not like it's a band or anything like that.
It's going to be easier for me to ask a question to Eddie Jackson because he's on
good,
right now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. What's up, Eddie?
How you doing?
We're good. We were just talking about stand-up comedy. I'm going to see Seinfeld tonight.
Yeah, I heard. You excited?
Very excited. Who's your favorite comedian?
I'll say Cat Williams.
Cat Williams could still bring it, man. He really can.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Do you see any of the new Chappelle stuff?
No, I actually didn't get a chance. I actually watched some of it, but I didn't get a chance to finish it.
I would highly recommend it. But Eddie, we all got a good laugh, by the way, because I follow you on Instagram, and I saw a picture. Are you getting your massage during this interview again, like you were last week?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
very good, very very
multitasking
good.
Over here.
Female or male masseuse today, Eddie?
Female.
Where's she at right now? We're getting a little neck.
My back, left side, my back and my shoulder. Right
left
now.
Side of the back, yeah. And the back helped enormously by the piriformis, too. Those are the tough muscles to stretch down in the glutes. Those are the bad ones, right?
Yeah, the bad ones. She do a great job, though. She does a great job.
It's not a bad life, right? Come on the radio, talk some football, get a little rub down. That's not so bad.
Nah. Every Friday, you know, it's becoming a routine. So, you know, just looking forward to it now.
We've had this conversation before on the air about talking during either a haircut or a massage, you know, and I get it why people want to shut down, but I also don't mind a little conversation when on the massage table.
Yeah, and I like to be silent.
I'm an old man, Eddie. I'm 58. I got all kinds of orthopedic issues, and I've got interesting massage therapists, so I talk almost the entire treatment.
Yeah, I
don't get paid for it like you are.
Yeah, it's a difference.
Hey, I read you showed up on the injury report. Hamstring, all things good to go there?
Yeah, I'm good. It's just a little tight hamstring, but you know that's why I'm with Sandy right now. She's getting me right. So
okay, well you tell Sandy give you some extra time and attention there because we need you out there on Sunday.
She actually can hear you.
Okay, perfect. Well, Sandy, do good work. All right, all the Bears fans need it. Eddie, how would you describe the mood of the team? Because I will tell you that Bears fans are shocked by how this season is going. What's it like inside those walls at House Hall?
It's been pretty good. You know, it's been pretty good. The energy has been high. You know, everyone's been positive and, you know, just sticking together. You know, like I said, we're not playing a blame game. We know what we have to fix, and it's no more talking about what we got to do or what we need to improve on. You know, it's that point in the season where it's just time to go out there and do it and get it done. So everyone's on board with that.
What did you take out of Coach Nagy's PowerPoint presentation on the World Series champions?
When they was down, you know, their backs was against the wall and they came together and they just did it for one another. You know, that's just like the predicament we in right now. You know, our back against the wall, you know, we know our season is at stake. So we got to come out here and go on this run and just finish off the second half of the season strong. And that was just the message, you know, and just to come out and be 1-0, you know, not thinking into the future, you know, just thinking 1-0 right now. So that's our mindset. It's just 1-0 winning this next game.
On Good Morning Football today, Peter Schrager said he talked to a few members of the Bears, and after Nagy was finished, the roof was almost raised by the jubilation in the room. Was it that exciting of a speech or presentation?
It was exciting. I'll say the exciting part about it is just because it related to us so much, you know, with all the adversity and, you know, them being down earlier in the season. You know, this is just the same predicament. So I felt like everyone can relate to it more because we actually going through it right now, you know, and to see them come out on top and win the World Series, it just shows you, like, you keep fighting, you stick together, you know, don't let what people the outside have to say determine your future, and you know, just continue to work for one another. So like I said, we related to it a lot and everyone is on board, and you know, the mindset has been great this week. So we know we got to come out and we have to get it done. You know, like I said, there's no more talking about it. We just have to do it.
this is not the first time that Matt's done something like that, right? I feel like I remember him talking to you guys about Virginia when they lost to the 16 seed and Tiger Woods. This is a theme that he hits on kind of regularly, right?
Yeah, actually. And it's crazy because they all come at perfect times, you know, when we need them the most. And, you know, Coach Nagy always finds a way to, you know, get everyone riled up and get everyone back on track and excited and just show you what you're fighting for. So that's why we love him, man. You know, he's a competitor. He's a great coach and he's a player coach. You know, he gets it and he owns up to his stuff. You know, if he done something wrong, he's going to come in and you call himself out. So when you got a guy like that leading a football team, it's always a positive thing.
Can you give us an example? What's he call himself out for?
You know, just not being aggressive, you know, not running the ball. And, you know, you see him come back this week and run the ball. David had a great rushing game and just trusting the players, you know, and that's one of the things he does best, you know. And if he comes back and he makes a mistake, you know, he admit that's on me, I'm going to take this one, you know. So, but for us, you know, we never want our coach just feel like it's all on him, because at the same time, he can cause something, but we have to go out there and execute. And I feel like the players and everyone gets that. So it's no questioning the coach. It's just all of us coming together, coaches and players.
You guys ran the ball better than you have maybe at any point in Matt's career here. And, man, I just have to think, fourth quarter of the game, that had to be about as well as you guys have felt physically, right? When your offense is out there all day, that gives you a tremendous advantage. Did you feel it?
Yeah, you most definitely felt it, you know, felt it. And we even said when we looked at the play sheet, how many plays, we were like, that's how many plays? Like, that's crazy. You know, offense was controlling the ball good. You know, they you know, we had some costly turnovers, but, you know, just overall, you know, he controlled the ball good. We ran very well. We passed good. So we just got to continue to finish. And on our part, you know, just keeping that mindset on defense, if they don't score, they don't win. So for us, we want to come out there, and that's our goal every week, you know, is to come out, hold a team to, you know, no points. Or if they do score, you know, what, 14, 13 points or less.
Eddie, this week there's been a lot of talk about the kicker again, and there was obviously a lot of talk this offseason, but Eddie Pinheiro seems to have your guys' confidence. What's it like to be on a team with a kicker who has some swag?
It's fun. You know, it's fun. It's exciting. You know, and Eddie, the type of player he is, the type of guy he is, you know, don't sweat, don't panic. You know, he has an early career right now, you know. So, like I tell him, it's one of the toughest jobs, you know, being a quarterback or a kicker for the Chicago Bears. You know, just coming in here and trying to please everybody and, you know, want to be perfect. But in reality, that's not how it's going to go. You know, it's going to be ups and it's going to be downs. But for him and the type of energy he brings to the team, as a kicker, it's exciting, you know, and we love him. We really appreciate Eddie, man. We know, you know, no one's questioning anything, blaming him for anything. Like, we tell him, like, man, it's on us, all us together. It's not just on him, because we put him in that predicament to, you know, have to make the win the field goal. We could have came out there and hold the guys to less points.
Eddie, you're going to see one of your old teammates Sunday, and I would expect that Doug Peterson is going to give Jordan Howard an opportunity to bite the hand that once fed him. That's got to be what you're expecting, right? Heavy doses of Jordan?
Most definitely, most definitely. You know, Jordan's a great player, so we know he has a chip on his shoulder. You know, this is, you know, a revenge game for him, and we know he's going to come out and run hard and, you know, give us his best, and we're going to give him our best. You know, we look forward to the challenge, and, we accept it. You know, we know what it is. So for us on defense, we got to come out and just, you know, treat him like he ain't another back. Like I said, when it's time to cross those white lines, all the friendships and everything is out the window. You know, after the game, you can, you know, laugh and joke and giggles, you know, but during the game, it's none of that. It's all business.
How important is it to you to shut down a good running team again? I mean, you guys got better against the Chargers. They abandoned it. How important is it to show up against Philly in their ballpark and shut them down after what the Raiders and Saints did to you?
Oh, it's important, you know, and not for just for them being good rush, you know, teams. It's for us, you know, being, you know, who's what, the number one rush defense, you know, to stop. So, you know, we just got to get back to our old ways. And we know, you know, teams going to come out and try to run the ball on us. And we want to make it tough on them. You know, it's the rush and the pass works together on our and on the defense. So we feel like if we can stop the run, we leave it in the quarterback hands. And we do what we have to do in the back end, get some pressure on them, cause some turnovers. You know, we have a better chance of winning the game. So that's always one of the most important keys going into every week. We're stopping the run.
We're talking to Bears safety Eddie Jackson. How much talk this week has there been about the fact that these guys knocked you out of the playoffs and that they blew you out in 2017?
Not a lot of talk at all. You know, it's like I said, it's not really of the opponent. We're not taking it as, oh man, this is a revenge game, or they knocked us out. No, it's basically on look, man. This is the next team in a way, you know, to what we're trying to accomplish at the end of the season. Right now, we dug ourselves in the hole, so we got to come in here and handle business, and you know, this is where it starts. So we just treating this like it's a new season for us. You know, the mindset is 1-0. You know, and we know it's at stake. Like I said, for us to get to where we want to be at the end of the season, and right now this is where it starts. So it's not no revenge thing or no talk about, oh, we got to get these guys back or payback game or nothing like that. We're just going out there handling business.
What about for you? I mean, obviously the goal is 1-0, and I know it's not about individual accolades, but you were an all-pro, right? I mean, you were listed as one of the 100 greatest Bears ever, and you've only been here a couple of years. Are you playing up to your standards this year so far?
I mean, you know, with the turnovers and things, no, not at all. You know, I want to, you know, force more turnovers. And, you know, it gets tough. You know, you got to try to disguise quarterback, come from one side to the other side of the field, or, you know, make the hard turnovers. But, you know, that's what we signed up for, you know, for us to hold that title of being, you know, ranked amongst all these great Bears players and seeing the great things they did. You know, it's time for you to just step up. And like I told the guys, you know, I haven't been doing anything. I haven't made a play yet. So it's time for me to step up this week and finish this season off strong. But, you know, the All-Pro and Pro Bowl, that's not on my mind right now. My mind is, you know, get to the playoffs, you know, clinching a spot in the division, you know, just, you know, get to the Super Bowl. That's what it's all about. I feel like when you handle that, everything else will come with the Pro Bowl and all other individual accolades.
Eddie, how's Sandy doing, by the way? She good?
Yeah, she's doing a great job. She's on that ham screen right now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah, it's more tender up high where the tendon is thicker, I bet.
Yeah, it actually is.
All right, man. We'll get the treatment. We enjoy talking to you. And is Tua going to play next Saturday?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it, you know. But if not, you know, we got faith in Mac Jones, man. We got
Come
faith
on.
In Mac.
Come yeah, on. We, don't lie to
we
me.
We actually do. He has a great – he has a good arm, man. Mac is a good player, man. But I know we're looking forward to tour. But if not, we feel like Mac can get the job done.
You're not that impressed with this LSU squad?
I mean, they're good. No, they actually good. I actually told a couple of people, like, this is probably one of the best offense best offense I ever seen at LSU, you know, just to see the two young receivers and that quarterback they got, you know, their chemistry together has been pretty good. So our defense is going to have a big day on their hands.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it next Saturday.
Roll damn tide.
Roll tide, Eddie. We'll talk to you soon.
Roll tide. Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks, Eddie.
That's Eddie Jackson with us this hour, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. The segment also brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
On the massage table.
You know, he's locked into the interview, so I can't even be upset about it.
No, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah,
it was good.
Different
way of doing it.
I wouldn't be
I'm trying to get some sort of benefit in the muscles that are. I see. I had 80 minutes on the table yesterday with Sam, part of my A team. Yeah, she's fabulous. Yeah, it was good. Oh man,
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Really?
Conduct an interview while getting a massage. No chance.
Yeah, you don't even like to talk, let alone try and be Danny Parkins.
Yeah, it would just be very difficult. And I mean, like, you know, you wanted like a deep tissue, like they're really getting in there. Like, oh.
I generally like a good massage.
Yeah. Yeah, it just kind of, I feel like it would impact my performance.
Yeah, it probably would.
I was very impressed with what Eddie Jackson's ability to multitask. So I hope that hamstring gets good. And man, he needs a pick. Forget a pick six.
A pick would be good. And it'd be good if all of them would tackle a little bit lower on big backs. And they didn't give up too many big plays against the Chargers. I thought their defense was pretty good. But the Gordon touchdown run, where a couple Bears met him at the 5-yard line and he just kept taking guys with him into the end zone because they're all up at the chest, man. That's not how you're going to get a strong guy with a full head of steam down. You can't go up high. They go up high on Jordan Howard, they're going to pay for it. He'll have his big day.
I'm worried about all of it. It feels to me, I predicted a blowout. I'll be honest. I said 24-9. Lose by two touchdowns.
I think I've got 27-12 or something.
So we're right in the same vicinity. Yeah. Shep predicted the Eagles to hang 40 on the Bears.
Every time I pick the Eagles to blow the Bears out of the building, the Bears play really well unexpectedly. Maybe I should have done that. We should have gone Shep to see it, but I don't think that has any correlation. It's just coincidence, probably.
Yeah,
right?
I'm positive it certainly doesn't have causation to it. But yeah, it's they're saying all of the right things.
Yeah.
I hope their actions back it up.
In a game that is not of interest to anybody here in Chicago, the Redskins are starting Dwayne Haskins against the Bills this week. Have you seen this? Yeah, Dwayne Haskins is going to get his first start. And if Frank Gore of the Bills rushes for 100 yards, he's going to leapfrog Barry Sanders and pull into the number three spot all time in NFL history. And at the age, he sighs.
It's harder and harder for me to keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
At the age of 36, my respect and admiration for Frank Gore just continues to grow. He doesn't need to be doing this, and he's still playing at a pretty high level. And the beatings his body has taken, the knee surgeries, I marvel at his want to keep going. It's crazy good, man, at 36.
I have all the respect in the world for him. I get painted as a hater because I don't think he's a Hall of Famer just because he was never great relative to the backs of his era. He's a compiler who's just done it for a long time. But admittedly, availability and longevity at that position is an incredible trait. And if he finishes third all time in rushing, it's going to be hard to keep him out.
Pretty hard, isn't it?
It's going to be tough.
Mac, did you happen to see Fox's interview with Josh Allen on Sunday in the pregame show?
I did not.
He's a California kid, and they were talking to him about, you know, his emergence and, you know, who he grew up watching and idolizing. He's like, oh, big time Frank Gore fan. He had multiple Frank Gore jerseys as a
nice
kid.
Wow. Yeah. Nice. I like that. I'm a fan of his now immediately.
I figured you would be. Yeah.
And he holds off these young up and comers too. Like Devin Singletary can't really crack like 10 carries.
Well, you look at the lifespan of these running backs, you can't help but respect this guy's ability to hang around. That's a lifespan. Football players, period, get to the NFL. What is their life expectancy professionally? 4.5 years, 5 years,
yeah,
on
less.
Average.
Yeah.
Running backs even less than the less. Yeah, they just, if you're lucky, if you live 3 years in the league. How many guys you see come in and they're out in no time? Jeremy Langford out of Michigan State a few years ago. In a couple years, Jordan Howard will probably be out of the league.
That's why running backs keep holding out.
Mm-hmm.
Want to get paid earlier
and
earlier.
They should get their own union, I'm telling you.
Christian McCaffrey coming up next, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, he's going to get some dough.
Yeah, but he's going to have to hold out to do it.
Yep, he will.
Because he's not a free agent after this year. So after this year, if he has another 2,000 all-purpose yard season with 20 touchdowns, I don't know. I'm not his agent, but I would certainly recommend he hold out and get his money. Moby Ditka, your lamb chop, will be in studio in less than 20 minutes on The Score.
It hasn't really been talked a lot about by anybody. And that is that was a big game for us, a big loss for us that we used in the offseason. I think internally everybody knows kind of that thing of what we felt, but we haven't turned this into any type of it's a revenge game. You got to do this or do that. We're just kind of focused to go on 1-0 right now with where we're at this year.
And you just heard Eddie Jackson echo those talking points. The goal is to go 1-0. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Wolves. You want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Wolves game? Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves.
It's a situation where I really believe Nagy and Jackson when they say that. I mean, they've got their own issues. This season has taken on a completely different complexion than anybody thought it would. So that loss to the Eagles in January seems like ancient history. So I believe them when they say that, and it would be silly to get worked up with that. You got enough concerns.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I don't care. It's coach speak. It's cliche. It's what they say each and every week. An odd thing that, you know, we talk about this with trends sometimes when we do Who Do You Love, and when you and I are talking about gambling off the air and about how trends, I think most of them, are irrelevant. Like when you say Team A has beat Team B 10 of the last 12 years, it's like,
right.
Well, okay, well, how many of those guys on the team 9 years ago are playing in the game tomorrow, right?
Yes.
What do you make of the fact that this year road teams have a better record than home teams? Straight up. It's not by that many games.
Yeah, no idea.
Isn't that crazy?
I knew it was nearing that. I didn't know they'd actually leapfrogged it. That is kind of crazy. No idea.
I was trying to think about
more
it.
More focus on the road. It certainly wasn't a Cubs case this past summer.
Yeah, do you
need a structure.
What about this theory? Newer stadiums, more expensive ticket prices, not in general as loud and crazy as it was maybe 20 years ago. So home field advantage isn't as big of an advantage in terms of noise. What do you think?
I think you're throwing darts at the wall.
Yeah, I don't know, really. But that's just an odd thing. I wonder if it's ever happened before.
Yeah, if it has, I don't recall it ever happening. It's usually you win a road game, even against a bad team, it's cause for celebration. You don't care if it's a road game.
Right. Well, it's just odd. Like this year, not against the spread, but just straight up, road teams have a winning record, home teams have a losing record, and we're not talking about that small of a sample here. So, I don't know, I just, when I, you know, I was looking at that, and I'm thinking, huh, I wonder.
Well, the Bears have served up a couple of them to help that stat.
Yeah, they sure have.
Lose to Teddy Bridgewater, and then to a 2-4 or 2-5 Los Angeles Chargers team. Almost did it. Almost Diego'd myself again.
You're only at $55 in your kangaroo court. It's not so bad.
A texter suggesting there's fewer good teams. I think the opposite. I think the NFC has very few days off. I mean, if you're playing the Redskins, hell, even Trubisky looked okay. If you're playing the Redskins or the Giants, you're okay.
Falcons.
Yeah, then the Falcons. Other than that, who's a free skate in the NFC? Yeah, even Arizona looked against an unbeaten team last night. Yes, they were at home.
Arizona's a tough out.
Yeah.
They're a tough out. Tampa, I'd probably put next. Their defense is pretty porous for the most part, and Jameis will give the ball up a couple times a game.
Tampa's lower tier, so we've got four lousy teams out of the 16 that comprise the NFL. I mean, the Bears are the last place team in the North, and the Bears still have a very, very good defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I was just thinking, like, you and Dave were talking about, you know, the old vet, right, where the Eagles used to play, and no one talks about Lincoln Financial Field in the same way. And so I was just, I don't know what that is, right? It's just and I've been to a game at the Link.
It looked pretty rough in Silver Linings Playbook. Even psychologists were getting in fights in the parking lot.
I've been to a game at the Link, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's loud. It's passionate.
It's enormous, isn't it? I mean, I've only driven past it. I've never been in there.
It's big, but it's not like an 85,000-90,000 person stadium like in Washington or in Dallas. It's a big structure because there's lots of concourse space and all of that. But it's I don't know, these Arrowhead is loud, Brown Stadium's loud, Seattle's loud, but
Minnesota
very loud, Superdome very loud. Yep. But I mean, I think the Chiefs, I know that they're talking about how Arrowhead Magic is gone and they only are a few games above 500 over like a 10-year sample size.
And they attribute it to what?
There's no answer for it, but it's an odd thing. It's not like they've been a terrible team, but it's just a place where everyone says, oh man, that's a really tough place to play, but it's basically on reputation.
Maybe teams get really down in the mouth because they're not playing well and their fans boo them and it makes them curl up and play worse.
Okay. Well, so, hey, we're just spitballing here, right?
Yes, right.
The millennial athlete?
Yeah.
Who doesn't, Eddie Jackson says, don't boo us at home?
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get booed on the road. Go away from distraction.
Right,
These people don't hate me, or if they do hate me, it's just because of my jersey, not because they're not supposed to love me.
Philly people hate everybody, though, including themselves.
Yeah, but I was thinking about it. How many times this year have we already said, this is the eighth game, how many times have we said, hey, you know, it might not be such a bad thing that the Bears are
I know.
On the road, or, ooh, it's tough that this one's at home. I remember the opener. We're like, they're opening at home for the 100th season, but that might be a bad spot for Eddie Pinheiro.
We thought the London trip would do him good.
right. So that's week one. I was like, I wish they were on the road than at home. Then the London trip would do him well, and then Wani came in and say, I'll tell you, it's a good thing that they're not at home this week. That's three of their eight games where we were wishing they were playing in a different location.
And back next Sunday at home for the Honolulu Blue Detroit Lions. That's who's up next for the Bears. So.
Yeah. Well, listen, they win this game and people will talk themselves into you know, they can control their destiny
into
or whatever.
What? Into what?
They'll talk themselves into
hanging on to some shred of hope.
That's what they'll do.
Yeah.
Right? Because it feels like it's a 10-win NFC minimum to get in, right? Because San Fran's 8-0 and Seattle's 6-2 and the Rams are 5-3 just in that division.
Right.
Right? So,
well, and the Bears have three teams on top of them, yeah. And the Packers are just, they're chalk another one up this week with their matchup.
Well, right. So, I mean, the Bears are, well, I think the wild card's probably an easier path for the Bears, but both are really difficult.
Yep.
Because Bears are three back in the division, plus they already have lost to the Packers at home. So they're in essence 3.5 games out already of their division, having to leapfrog three teams. So that is astronomical. The wild card, you got a 6-win team that's not a division leader in the Vikings, and you got a 6-win team that's not a division leader in the Seahawks, and the Rams at 5 wins. So Panthers at 4 wins.
Tough sledding.
Eagles at 4 wins. You've got 5 non-division leaders that have more wins than you.
Yeah, it's a real tough road.
It's so.
Yeah.
You need 10 wins might not get you in the NFC this year.
It's another must-win game.
I mean,
we're running out of must-win games.
They all are. Right? People laugh at me. I understand. But, I mean, if there's 5 teams in front of you in the wild card that are not division leaders and 3 teams in front of you in your division.
Right.
There's a real chance that 10 wins doesn't get in the NFC this year. That happens rarely, right? Most of the time, 10 gets you in, but it does happen occasionally in the NFL. So, yeah, the Bears are in trouble in the big picture.
Didn't Lovie Smith get fired
yes.
in one of those?
Yeah.
Did they win 9 or 10 his
that
last
was 10
year?
And 6 that, didn't
I
it.
Thought they yeah, won 10 games.
And then the Patriots, the Matt Castle year, I think it was 11-5. Did they go 11-5 and miss the playoffs or 11-5 and not win the division? I don't remember.
I don't recall.
But it was one of the two. And so in weird, quirky years, you can absolutely miss the playoffs with 10 wins. So it's a tough spot for the Bears right now. Moby Ditka, your lamb chop from last night.
He is my little lamb chop.
He is here, and he will be heading to Philadelphia shortly. So we'll get his thoughts on the Bears game and how he's spending time tonight ahead of Bulls and Pistons. Derek Rose back in town. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Hey, Twitter world. It's me, OJ Mahomes.
Yep. OJ Simpson dressed up as Pat Mahomes for Halloween. Wig, jersey, and all. It was awkward. But Moby Ditka is here. Max Lambchop. What's up, buddy?
What, Pat? What do you think about that? Was Pat... Pat had to have been... Somebody had to have... Or maybe you don't ask him that question.
Can't imagine he was thrilled, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Can't imagine he was happy about
it. Hey, Twitter world. It's me, OJ Mahomes.
Danny loves OJ Simpson's Twitter account so much.
Hey, I'm not the only one.
I didn't say you were. I didn't
I'm
say
not
you.
Scared to admit it.
How many people follow the Juice? On
a
Twitter?
Lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half a million.
It might be towards a million now. I think.
Really.
919,000 followers.
Oh my!
With 69 tweets. Nice.
It's the least self-aware Twitter account on Twitter, and there's a lot of them out there.
See. I might disagree with you. I think that it's performance art of some level. Like, I think that he is.
Oh, I do too.
I think he is trolling, and I think that someone else is running the account because there's no replies. It's just like one of his friends on the golf course records OJ Simpson and then posts it and is like, look, we could tell Antonio Brown to take legal advice from OJ Simpson. Isn't that hilarious?
Although he never answered my question when I ask, is Mitch good? He never responded. So.
We keep trying. You keep trying, Danny.
Moby Ditka is here today.
Okay, Wani.
Wow. What was that? He's just like, what was that?
No,
he's really uncomfortable with the OJ talk.
No.
Moby Ditka, referring to himself now.
I feel like I am a caricature of myself, so I am going to refer to myself in the third person.
That was incredible.
On Moby Ditka is here today, though, guys, to tell you that, unfortunately, I know I'm here to lighten the mood and lighten the room usually,
Moby Dicka does not have a good feeling about this game on the road
really?
Against the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
How could anybody?
How could anybody? I mean, it might just be more of because of Philadelphia, because Philadelphia does this during the season where they have these disappointing starts to season like they did last year. Like all year, it seemed like they sucked until they didn't, and then they slid into the playoffs, and everybody thought that they were going to go to the Super Bowl again and have their magic, which they ultimately didn't. But that's a team, Philadelphia, which goes into Buffalo last week, beats a good Bills team or a good home team in the Buffalo Bills. It just doesn't feel particularly good going into this week. And I don't know if you guys have felt
I'm impressed
the same
that
thing.
It's more about Philly for you. Because for me, I mean, Philly's better than the Bears, and they certainly have more to play for. Because I think that Philly still is going to win that division and make the playoffs and get to double-digit wins based on their second-half schedule. But to me, it's the Bears. I just think that it feels like the wheels are coming off.
It does, but they were horrible in terms of getting the ball into the end zone in the red zone last week.
Yeah.
The running game, though, was, until they got to that point, the running game was really good last week, okay? And I'm not saying that you can necessarily repeat that. I don't know that one should depend on them to do that. But there was a major breakthrough in terms of the run game. From everything that we talked about last year through this year, that was a huge breakthrough for this Bears team. And if they can continue to do that, that's obviously a really good sign for them. And then they got into the red zone. And I realize I am setting the bar very, very low at this point, but they were able to put themselves in position to do things.
Baby steps.
Yeah, I mean, they moved the ball against a two-win team. Awesome.
Here's what I'm hoping. Like,
That's what it was.
The coach needs to demonstrate some growth, and if the Eagles are handling the Bears' running game early, but don't go and develop a 21-point lead, don't abort it because it's not going well. Like he said after the game when they rushed it only 7 times, the New Orleans game. Well, we fumbled. Well, you can't let a little bit of failure deter you from your game plan. If you want to get the game shorter and get your defense some rest, you got to run the effing ball.
That was the breaking point. You know, the 7 carries for whatever it was, 19 yards, that, franchise low. That was where Matt Nagy was finally broken of this, to where he knows that he's like, okay, I give up. How do we do this? Let's go. Everybody who had an idea about what we wanted to do as far as, bringing in an extra blocker or running this formation as opposed to that. I think that game was an important breaking point for Matt Nagy and the Bears, to where they will do what you are saying, that they will actually stick with it against this Eagles team.
All right. Well, so over under 23.5 carries for David Montgomery. That's max number.
Great number. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go the over. I will say specifically that he has 26 carries in this game. 27 last week.
I'm the only one with the under today.
If you're right, that means the Bears are in the ball game in the fourth quarter.
You just think they're going to get blown out. Is that why?
Yeah, I think they're going to lose by double digits. And I think that Matt Nagy last week was doing some of that out of defiance. And I think that they, of course, they're trying to win. I'm not saying that they're not. But they also have like a 1B. If 1A is win, they have a 1B objective of still trying to evaluate Mitch Trubisky within this offense over the final 9 games. And I just don't think that he's prepared to run the ball 40 times a game.
So wait, you're saying that he did it just to shut everybody up? You said out of defiance. Explain that. So
he came out in he said, I wasn't hired to run the I formation. And then he came out and ran the I formation on the first play. We've seen it from him before. He does the little wing T as the nod to the pass. Like he's got an ego. I know, but like I said,
he was broken finally. He was finally broken. And they had success with it. So
at this point,
if he goes away from it and he is defiant, then he's just being stupid.
But the Eagles have a top 10 rush defense. The Chargers didn't. So I don't expect them to have the success against the Eagles when he tries to run the ball early. I think there just needs to be balance. It got too ridiculous, right? Mitch was dropping back to pass 54 times, and they ran it 7 times. Like, he lost himself. That was terrible by Matt Nagy. But I think it's going to be 60-40, and it'll be 60-40 pass to run.
I think it's going to be a close game, though. I, I would not pick the Bears to win this game, but I think it's going to be close because you do have two teams, like, despite Philadelphia having played better lately, they're still in desperation mode. They can't afford to, or at least they feel they can't afford to fall back under the 500 mark, and they're just starting to pick up. So I think that there is going to be a little bit of that desperate from both of these teams, and it's going to be a grinder game. Because you look at, like, Philadelphia's, and I'll go through some of these at the top of the hour, but you know, some of the numbers from Carson Wentz, like even last week in that win, 172 yards passing, something like that. I mean, it's not what Eagles fans were looking for from their franchise quarterback either. I mean, he's obviously been better than Mitchell Trubisky and living up to more of the expectations, but he's not like on that MVP, you know, hierarchy that he was a couple of years ago.
Did you go to sleep and dream of lamb chops oreganato?
So good, man.
Wasn't
oreganato?
Yeah, we were Wayne Larrabee, I'll have the rigatoni.
Here's what happened, Danny. I had already had my 12-ounce filet. Dan had two entrees. He was going with, what was the Italian dish?
Chicken parm.
Chicken parm. And then he had the lamb chops to the side. He had one, and then he caught me staring at his lamb chops. And
so, tongue was hanging out.
He kind of reluctantly said, "You want one of these?
Here you go, my little lamb chop."
And I was like, "You sure?"
So now Grody is Max Lamb Chop.
My little lamb chop.
I am his lamb chop. I am at his mercy. It was delicious. Bah.
Were they slaughtering the spring lambs?
This transition brought to you by Amco Total Transmission and Car Care. Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care offers up to 12 months interest-free payment plans, and their exclusive powertrain systems check is free. Search AAMCO for a location near you. That's Amco Transmissions and a whole lot more.
Oh, the butcher boy, huh?
Of course.
Family Clarice, yes, I'll have the lamb.
Oh, hope everybody has a great weekend. Walter Payton passed away 20 years ago today. I loved him as a player, and I liked him as a guy. We were lucky enough to get to know him a little bit here at The Score. Very sad day 20 years ago when Jeff Schwartz called Dan Jiggetts and me in his office, and Francine Portray from Bears was on the phone and said, Walt went today. And Jared, if you're listening, Brittany, love you. Connie, thank you. Walter, RIP, babe, thanks.
Very well said. Grody takes you up until Bulls and Pistons. Have a good weekend, Mac. It was a fun week. Thank you to Olin Kreutz, Dave Wonstedt, Eddie Jackson, and Mark Grody. Mike Chen was in
How
for
much
Shep.
Chinese can you speak? Just a little bit. I don't think you're fluent to it, are you? No, he's not.
Do
he's
it.
As American as you and I are, but
he's fluent to it.
He's as American as you and I. He's Mike Chen in for Shep. Congratulations again to Shep and Ashley, the new Score baby. Peyton Laurel Shepkowski, born at 5:20 yesterday afternoon. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
That'll basically be the show because we don't have much time for anything else.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.